Welcome to Gima's Tales for Children. Each week, we visit a different part of the world to hear stories, legends, and myths. Some of these stories are so old that the origin has been lost in time. Some are new, and some are timeless. Join us this week as we visit the Great Sahara Desert in Africa. The Sahara Desert is the largest desert on Earth. It is so big that it would cover most of the United States if it was laid on top of North America. It covers much of North Africa, stretching from the Atlantic Ocean to the Red Sea. Even though it is a desert, there are 22 countries here with millions of people. How hot is it here? The average temperature in the summer is between 100 and 114 degrees, and it can get as hot as 120 degrees several days in a row. For further information about the Sahara for children on the internet, I suggest www.ducksters.com. Many stories are told about Anansi the spider. This one is about how he ended up looking the way he looks today. Here is Why Anansi Has 8 Thin Legs. Once upon a time, a long time ago, there lived a spider named Anansi. Anansi's wife was a very good cook, but always Anansi loved to taste the food that others in the village made for themselves and for their families. One day he stopped by Rabbit's house. Rabbit was his good friend. "There are greens in your pot," cried Anansi excitedly. Anansi loved greens. "They're not quite done," said Rabbit, "but they will be soon. Stay and eat with me." "I would love to, Rabbit, but I have some things to do," Anansi said hurriedly. If he waited at Rabbit's house, Rabbit would certainly give him jobs to do. "I know," said Anansi. "I'll spin a web. I'll tie one end around my leg and one end to your pot. When the greens are done, tug on the web and I'll come running." Rabbit thought that was a great idea, and so it was done. "I smell beans," Anansi sniffed excitedly as he ambled along. "Delicious beans cooking in a pot."
"Come eat our beans with us," cried the monkeys. "They are almost done."
"I would love to, Father Monkey," said Anansi. And again, Anansi suggested he spin a web with one end tied around his leg and one end tied to the big bean pot. Father Monkey thought that was a great idea. All his children thought so too, and so it was done. "I smell sweet potatoes," Anansi sniffed happily as he ambled along. "Sweet potatoes and honey, I do believe." "Anansi," called his friend Hog, "my pot is full of sweet potatoes and honey. Come share my food with me."
"I would love to," said Anansi. And again, Anansi suggested he spin a web with one end tied around his leg and one end tied to the sweet potato pot. His friend Hog thought that was a great idea, and so it was done. By the time Anansi arrived at the river, he had one web tied to each of his 8 legs.
"This was a wonderful idea," Anansi told himself proudly. "I wonder whose pot will be ready first." But then, Anansi felt a tug at his leg. "Ah," said Anansi, "that is the web string tied to Rabbit's greens." He felt another, and another. Anansi was pulled 3 ways at once. "Oh dear," said Anansi as he felt the 4th web string pull. Just then, he felt the 5th web string tug, and the 6th, and the 7th, and the 8th. Anansi was pulled this way and that way as everyone pulled on the web strings at once. His legs were pulled thinner and thinner. Anansi rolled and tugged himself into the river. When all the webs had washed away, Anansi pulled himself painfully up on shore. Oh my," sighed Anansi. "Perhaps that was not such a good idea after all." To this day, Anansi the spider has 8 very thin legs, and he never got any food that day at all. The next story has a moral to it. Just listen carefully, as there's a lot going on. How a hunter obtained money from his friends, the leopard, goat, bush cat, and cock, and how he got out of repaying them. Many years ago, there was a Calabar hunter called Efyong, who lived in the bush, killed plenty of animals, and made much money. Everyone in the country knew him, and one of his best friends was a man called Okun, who lived near him. But Efyong was very extravagant and spent much money in eating and drinking with everyone,
until at last he became quite poor, so he had to go out hunting again. But now his good luck seemed to have deserted him, for although he worked hard and hunted day and night, he could not succeed in killing anything. One day, as he was very hungry, he went to his friend Okun and borrowed $200 from him, and told him to come to his house on a certain day to get his money, and he told him to bring his gun loaded with him. Now, some time before this, Effiong had made friends with a leopard and a bush cat, whom he also had met in the forest on one of his hunting expeditions, and he had also made friends with a goat and a cock at a farm where he had stayed for the night. But though Effiong had borrowed the money from Okun, he could not think how he was to repay it on the day as he had promised. At last, however, he thought of a plan. He went to his friend the leopard and asked him to lend him $200, promising to return the amount to him on the same day as he had promised to pay Okun. And he also told the leopard that if he were absent when he came for his money, he could kill anything he saw in the house and eat it. The leopard was then to wait until the hunter arrived, when he would pay him the money, and to this the leopard agreed. The hunter then went to his friend the goat and borrowed $200 from him in the same way. Effiong also went to his friends the bush cat and the cock and borrowed $200 from each of them on the same conditions, and told each one of them that if he were absent when they arrived, they could kill and eat anything they found about the place. When the appointed day arrived, the hunter spread some corn on the ground and then went away and left the house deserted. Very early in the morning, soon after he had begun to crow, the cock remembered what the hunter had told him and walked over to the hunter's house, but found no one there. On looking round, however, he saw some corn on the ground and, being hungry, he commenced to eat. About this time, the bush cat also arrived and, not finding the hunter at home, he too looked about, and very soon he espied the cock, who was busy picking up the grains of corn. So the bush cat went up very softly behind him and pounced on the cock and killed him at once and began to eat him. By this time the goat had come for his money, but not finding his friend, he walked about until he came upon the bush cat, who was so intent upon his meal off the cock that he did not notice the goat approaching, and the goat, being in rather a bad temper at not getting his money, at once charged at the bush cat and knocked him over, butting him with his horns. This the bush cat did not like at all, so as he was not big enough to fight the goat, he picked up the remains of the cock and ran off with it into the bush, and so lost his money, as he did not await the arrival of the hunter. The goat was thus left master of the situation and started bleating, and this noise attracted the attention of the leopard, who was on his way to receive payment from the hunter. As he got nearer, the smell of goat became very strong, and being hungry, for he had not eaten anything for some time, he approached the goat very carefully. Not seeing anyone about, he stalked the goat and got nearer and nearer until he was within springing distance. The goat, in the meantime, was grazing quietly, quite unsuspicious of any danger, as he was in his friend the hunter's compound. Now and then he would say, "Baa," but most of the time he was busy eating the young grass and picking up the leaves which had fallen from a tree of which he was very fond. Suddenly, the leopard sprang at the goat. The goat was dead almost at once, and the leopard started on his meal. It was now about 8 o'clock in the morning, and Okun, the hunter's friend, having had his early morning meal, went out with his gun to receive payment of the $200 he had lent the hunter. When he got close to the house, he heard a crunching sound, and being a hunter himself, he approached very cautiously and, looking over the fence, saw the leopard only a few yards off, busily engaged eating the goat. He took careful aim at the leopard and fired, whereupon the leopard rolled over dead. The death of the leopard meant that 4 of the hunter's creditors were now disposed of, as the bush cat had killed the cock, the goat had driven the bush cat away, who thus forfeited his claim, and in his turn the goat had been killed by the leopard, who had just been slain by Okun. This meant a savings of $800 to Effiong, but he was not content with this, and directly he heard the report of the gun, he ran out from where he had been hiding all the time, and found the leopard lying dead, with Okun standing over it. Then in very strong language, Effiong began to upbraid his friend,
and asked him why he had killed his old friend the leopard, that nothing would satisfy him but that he should report the whole matter to the king, who would no doubt deal with him as he thought fit. When Effiong said this, Okun was frightened and begged him not to say anything more about the matter, as the king would be angry. But the hunter was obdurate and refused to listen to him, and at last Okun said, "If you will allow the whole thing to drop and will say no more about it, I will make you a present of the $200 you borrowed from me." This was just what Effiong wanted, but still he did not give in at once. Eventually, however, he agreed and told Okun he might go and that he would bury the body of his friend, the leopard. And now, whenever a bush cat sees a cock, he always kills it and does so by right, as he takes the cock in part payment of the $200 which the hunter never paid him. And the moral to this story? Never lend money to people, because if they cannot pay, they will try to kill you or get rid of you in some way, either by poison or by setting bad jujus for you. There are so many stories told in Africa about tortoises. Most of them are all about how their shell came to look the way it is today. And here's a most unusual one. It's all about being too greedy. Here is The Tortoise and the Lizard. Once upon a time, there was a famine in the land of the animals. One day, the lizard was passing by a farm when he saw the farmer approach a rock. The lizard hid and watched as the farmer rolled the rock away to reveal the entrance into a cave. The farmer went inside and came out a few minutes later with a handful of yams and rolled the rock back into its place. The lizard waited for the farmer to leave. Then he too rolled away the rock and went into the cave. Inside the cave were several stacks of yams. The lizard took out a yam and rolled the rock back into its place. Every day, the lizard would return to the cave to take a yam and would go home to eat the yam. One day, as the lizard was carrying his yam home, he came across the tortoise who asked him where he had gotten his yam. He offered to tell him on the condition that the tortoise told no one. The tortoise promised to keep the secret, so the lizard told the tortoise to meet him the following morning and he would take him to the secret cave. Early the next morning, before the very first cock crow, the lizard and the tortoise went to the secret cave. When they got there, the lizard rolled the rock away to reveal the entrance to the cave. The tortoise could not believe his eyes, for there were more yams in there than even he could eat, because the tortoise was a very greedy fellow. The lizard picked a yam and started on his way home, but the tortoise was not done yet. He was going to carry as many yams as he could, and maybe even more. Very soon, the farmer came and found the tortoise, who was still busy collecting yams. By this time, the lizard was home, had eaten his yam, and was taking a nap. The farmer grabbed the tortoise and asked him how he came to be in the cave. The tortoise confessed that the lizard had brought him there. So the farmer took Tortoise to the lizard's house. There they found Lizard lying on his back. The farmer asked Lizard if it was he who had brought Tortoise to his cave. The lizard was shocked and said it was not possible, as he had been feeling unwell and lying on his back all day. So the farmer grabbed the tortoise and threw him against the wall, and the tortoise lay on the floor with a broken shell. The tortoise cried out to the insects of the forest, who helped him pick up and glue the pieces of his shell together. And that was how the tortoise ended up with a broken shell. There are eagles in the Sahara, although you don't hear much about them. Here is The Wisdom of the Eagle and the Treachery of the Hyena. Once upon a time, a hyena was out foraging in the bush. It was a fine sunny day, and he was looking forward to catching some morsels to eat. But as he was sniffing around, he fell into a hidden trap set by a hunter. He found himself at the bottom of a hole, with the trap catch closed over him. He tried to push it open, but it just would not budge. It was rather well made. So he started shouting, "Help! Help! Somebody get me out of here, please!" A lion passed by, looked to see who was in the trap. When he saw it was Hyena, he just moved on. "Help me! Let me out of here, please!" Hyena shouted. But the lion closed his ears. You should know that most animals did not like Hyena very much. He was always stealing food belonging to other animals and laughing at them behind their backs, so it was no surprise the lion moved on.
So the day passed, but every time an animal passed by the trap, however much Hyena begged and promised to be nice to them in the future, none stopped to help him. At last, Monkey came by.
"Help me, please, Monkey, get me out of this trap. I've been here all day, and the hunter will be back soon, and he will surely kill me. Help me, please."
"Well, now," Monkey said, "that's all very well. I would help you, but as soon as I pull you out of there, you will only kill me."
Hyena protested. "Monkey, I promise I will be good. I will not touch a hair on your head. If you let me out, I will go straight home. I promise."
Now this monkey was very kind, so he agreed to help Hyena. He removed the trap and threw down a branch so Hyena could pull himself out of the trap. But then as soon as he was out, Hyena realized he'd been in this trap all day long and had not eaten anything at all. So instead of going home as he had promised, Hyena attacked the kind monkey. Just then, an eagle was flying over the bush and saw the hyena attacking monkey. So he swooped down, landed on the hyena's back, and with his powerful claws pulled the animal off of the poor monkey, who was screeching in pain. After he'd separated the two, the eagle wanted to know what was going on. Monkey explained what had happened, that he had helped Hyena escape from the trap because he had promised not to attack him. Eagle said,
"In order for me to understand exactly how this happened, I would like you to show me exactly what you two were doing. So, Mr. Hyena, you get back into the trap and then we will start again."
Hyena realized he did not have much choice but to do as he was told, so he jumped back into the trap. Eagle covered the trap and made sure it was secure.
"Now, Mr. Hyena," said Eagle, "you can stay there and die for all I care. You don't deserve the kindness of other animals if you cannot keep a single promise."
With that, he advised the monkey to go home to his family, and he himself flew off to continue his journey, leaving the hyena to his fate. This story comes from the country of Eritrea, a country in the southern part of the Great Sahara Desert. Here is The Clever Farmer. One day, a farmer took his cow to the market to be sold. When he met the merchant, he greeted him and told him he had a cow he wished to sell. The merchant asked how much he wanted for his cow, to which the farmer replied, 50 measures of grain. The merchant began to laugh and said that the farmer must be a fool to ask such a price, since the cow was only worth a single measure of grain. The two began to barter over the price, and their tempers rose as the argument continued. A crowd began to gather around the two men. Then the farmer said he was not a fool, because no fool could know where the center of the earth was or how many stars there were in the heavens. The merchant got very angry and tried to punch him. At this point, a few men in the crowd took both of the men to the judge so that he could decide. The judge heard the version of both men, then turned to the farmer to ask, "If you are able to tell us the number of stars in the sky and where the center of the earth is, then here's your chance." The farmer paused and reached for his cane, which he lifted and plunged deep into the ground. "This is the center of the earth," he said, "and anyone who can prove the contrary is welcome to do so now." He then reached down and took a handful of dust from the ground. "The number of stars in the heavens is equal to the number of dust particles in my hand, and anyone who can prove me wrong is welcome to speak now." The judge understood that he was dealing with a very clever man, so he ordered the merchant to pay the clever farmer 50 measures of grain for his cow. This next story also has a moral at the end of it. However, to get to the end, we're going to have to hear about a king and a very scary witch. Here is The Pretty Stranger Who Killed the King. Mobutu was a very famous king who lived in the Sahara. He was frequently at war and was always successful, as he was a most skillful leader. All the prisoners he took were made slaves. He therefore became very rich, but on the other hand, he had many enemies. The people of Itu, in particular, were very angry with him and wanted to kill him, but they were not strong enough to beat Mobutu in a pitched battle, so they had to resort to craft.
The Itu people had an old woman who was a witch and could turn herself into whatever she pleased, and when she offered to kill Mobutu, the people were very glad and promised her plenty of money and cloth if she succeeded in ridding them of their worst enemy. The witch then turned herself into a young and pretty girl, and having armed herself with a very sharp knife, which she concealed in her bosom, she went to seek the king. It happened that when she arrived at the capital, there was a big play being held in the town, and all the people from the surrounding country had come in to dance and feast. Oyakan the witch went to the play and walked about so that everyone could see her. Directly she appeared, the people all marveled at her beauty and said that she was as beautiful as the setting sun when all the sky was red. Word was quickly brought to King Mobutu, who, it was well known, was fond of pretty girls, and he sent for her at once, all the people agreeing that she was quite worthy of being the king's wife. When she appeared before him, he fancied her so much that he told her he would marry her the very next day. Oyakan was very pleased at this, as she had never expected to get her opportunity so quickly. She therefore prepared a dainty meal for the king, into which she placed a strong medicine to make the king sleep, and then she went down to the river to wash. When she had finished, it was getting dark, so she went to the king's compound, carrying her dish on her head, and was at once shown in to the king, who embraced her affectionately. She then offered him the food, which she said, quite truly, she had prepared with her own hands. The king ate the whole dish and immediately began to feel very sleepy, as the medicine was strong and took effect quickly. They retired to the king's chamber, and the king went to sleep at once. About midnight, when all the town was quiet, Oyakan drew her knife from her bosom and cut the king's head off. She put the head in a bag and went out very softly, shutting and barring the door behind her. Then she walked through the town without anyone observing her and went straight to Itu, where she placed King Mobutu's head before her own king. When the people heard that the witch had been successful and that their enemy was dead, there was great rejoicing, and the king of Itu at once made up his mind to attack the dead king's town. The morning following the death of Mobutu, his people were rather surprised that he did not appear at his usual time, so his head wife knocked at his door. Not receiving any answer, she called the household together, and they broke open the door. When they entered the room, they found the king lying dead on his bed, but his head was missing. At this, a great shout went up, and the whole town mourned. Although they missed the pretty stranger, they never connected her in their minds with the death of their king, and were quite unsuspicious of any danger, and were unprepared for fighting. In the middle of the funeral, while they were all dancing, crying, and drinking palm wine, the king of Itu with all his soldiers attacked the town, taking them quite by surprise, and as their leader was dead, the people were very soon defeated. And the moral to this story? Never marry a stranger, no matter how pretty she may be. We cannot leave the Sahara without telling at least one story about lions. Here's one, about a lion and true love. It's called The Lion's Whisker. Once upon a time, there lived a young husband and wife in a small village on the edge of the Sahara Desert. For some time now, the husband had not been happy with his marriage. He began to come home late from working in the fields. His wife thought he was the most wonderful man, but she was unhappy too. His behavior was making her miserable. Finally, she went to the oldest man in her village, the village elder. The elder was sad to hear her marriage was not a happy one. He had married them only 2 years before. At the time, he was sure that the marriage would be a good one. "Of course I will end your marriage if that is what you want," he told the young wife after listening patiently for a while. "You will be free to marry again, but is that really what you want?"
"I want my husband to be loving," she said. "I want to be loving. We are both miserable."
I think I can help you," the elder said slowly. "I can prepare a secret potion that will change your husband into a loving man."
"Prepare this magic potion at once," the young wife cried out excitedly.
"I could make it,"
he said sadly, but I'm missing an important ingredient. I am too old to get this ingredient for you. You must bring it to me.
What do you need? The young wife asked eagerly. I'll bring it today.
I need a single whisker taken from a living lion to make the potion work. Her eyes widened in alarm. She bit her bottom lip. She straightened her shoulders.
I'll get it for you, she nodded.
The next morning, the young wife carried a huge piece of raw meat down to the river where lions sometimes came to drink. She hid behind a tree and waited. After waiting many hours, a lion ambled down to the river to have a drink. He sniffed at the raw meat. In 3 bites, the meat was gone. He raised his mighty head. He knew she was there. The young wife held her breath. The mighty lion moved slowly back into the forest and disappeared. The next day, the young wife came again. This time, the lion appeared quite quickly. This continued for many days. Days became weeks. Each day, the woman crept from her hiding place behind the tree, moving closer and closer to the lion. At the end of 4 weeks, she moved quietly next to the lion and sat silently while he ate. Her hand shaking, she reached slowly out and pulled a whisker from his chin. Holding her prize firmly in one hand, she sat frozen until the lion had disappeared back into the forest. She ran to the elder, waving her whisker. I have it, she shouted. I have it. The elder was in awe when he heard her story. You do not need magic to change your husband back into the loving man he once was. You are brave enough to pull a whisker from the chin of a living lion. It took cleverness and bravery to do what you have done. Can you not use that same patience and courage and wit with your husband?
But the potion, the young wife said eagerly, would not that work as well?
Perhaps, the elder told her, but it would not last. Trust me, my child, show your husband each day that you love him. Share his problems. Make him feel welcome. Make him feel wanted and needed. Give him time to change and see what happens.
The young wife went home and followed the elder's advice. Slowly, her husband began to return from the fields with the other men of the village. He began to look glad to see her. Within a year, their life was a happy one. So we've come to the end of our time together today. If you have a story you'd like to hear, please feel free to write me with your request. If you've written a children's story and would like to share it, let me know as well. I welcome your feedback. You can email me at guima@kciw.org. That's guima@kciw.org. See you next week, same time, same place, but very different stories. We'll travel to Greece to hear about ancient gods and goddesses and strange creatures that are half horse and half human, known as centaurs. This is Guima saying goodbye and happy reading.